second hour of the program. Glad you're with us across the great state of Michigan on X's and Bros. I'm Shep. Ben is our producer. Give him a call on the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. Or you can text Sports Radio to 21000. Love to get your feedback. Always appreciate you giving us a chance and giving us a listen here on X's and Bros, Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Most of these same great station affiliates, the Huge Show, Monday through Friday from 3 until 6. I'll be off the next couple of days. I'll be heading up to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Got a couple other conflicts, and my good friend Dennis Fithian will fill in for me tomorrow morning and then again on Thursday morning. Then I'll be back with you Friday morning from Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, the day after the draft. If you're going to the draft, try and stop by the Caucus Club. Say hello to Huge. Bill Simonson will be at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit. And speaking of that, I'm looking forward to draft conversations. That's what we're going to be doing with Jeremy Reisman, the editor and chief of Pride of Detroit. He will join us at 7:35. Tigers a winner yesterday. That was good stuff. Good offense by Detroit in a 7-1 win over Tampa. Kenta Maeda gets the call tonight. Good start by Tarek Skubal. Again, can be a dominating pitcher in this league. 9 strikeouts in 6 innings. Canna was good. Meadows had a homer. Baez was 2-for-4. Carpenter, 7th straight game with an RBI. Somebody had tweeted at me yesterday, they were a little disappointed, Ben, that we were talking about the contract of Anthony Rendon.
Oh, really?
Well, they were saying they're not a big fan of yours truly, which is fine. That doesn't hurt my feelings. But he was saying, you're sitting here talking about Anthony Rendon and we've got Javier Baez. Well, the two contracts are very different. I mean, one's a lot more money, Anthony Rendon. It's not like I enjoyed the contract. I didn't like the contract of Baez. Never liked it. In fact, I believe I was doing a show, or I was a guest on Huge's show, and they were talking about the free agent shortstops at the time. It was Seager, Simeon, who's more of a second baseman, but he did play some short in Oakland. Baez. Who else was in that class? Trevor Story was in that class. And Carlos Correa. And my first choice is Marcus Simeon, even though I knew he wasn't necessarily a shortstop. He could play short for you. He doesn't have the range that Baez has, but he could play short for you. He's supposedly a very good clubhouse leader. So that was my first choice. Trevor Story would not have turned out to be a very good one because of his injuries, was my second choice, then Carlos Correa. So in full disclosure, that's where I was coming from. I didn't like the Baez contract, but Baez is available, and that's what our discussion was. We were focused on the fact that Anthony Rendon, and I told you yesterday how good his years were, leading, or especially his last year in Washington, leading up to free agency and the signing there in Los Angeles for the Angels. But how it's been a bust of a contract because he hasn't played more than 58 games in a season. Javier Baez has played, 142 games 1 year, 138 games, and at least he's available. That was the whole point of the conversation. But the person who tweeted at me, and again, it's okay. You don't like me, so you lose the message. I don't like that guy, so you know what? Anything he says, I'm going to disagree with. If you were listening, truly listening, not hearing, but listening to the conversation, it was about availability. But you can't get past it. Anyway. That's the situation there. Baez did have a couple of hits. Doesn't make up for anything. Doesn't make up for his swinging his sliders outside the zone. Doesn't make up for striking out. Doesn't make up for the amount of money that he makes over the last couple of years and underperforming for the Tigers. Doesn't make up anything. I'm just giving you a number that he went 2-for-4. That's all. Okay? I'm not going to go through the entire box score. I'm just telling you, he was one of the offensive guys who made a difference last night. Only last night. I love the emotion of sports. I really do. I think it's what keeps us sane sometimes. Keeps us healthy. But sometimes it's okay to say the guy you don't like, the player that upsets you and frustrates you the most, had a good game. It doesn't mean that you are now a fan of his or hers. It doesn't now mean that you justify the contract he or she signed. And it sure doesn't mean that you believe he's turned the corner. It just means the guy had a good game. And in baseball, when you play 162 of those, and a lot of players, healthy players, yes, players who are teams are obligated to because of contracts, they're going to play 150-plus of those games. You're going to have to watch them. You can grade them on their season, but it's okay once in a while to say, all right, they did something tonight. I don't think I'm a whole lot different than you in that regard. Sometimes we look, when it's a player or a coach, we look for the negative to justify our beliefs. Fair or unfair, but that's what happens. NBA last night, Knicks winners, Cavs winners, Nuggets winners. NHL, Maple Leafs, Hurricanes, Oilers, and defending champion Vegas Knights. That's the story. Bottom of the hour, we will talk NFL draft. Really looking forward to that for sure, and we will do that with Jeremy Reisman. His thoughts on where the Lions go. What's the incentive to get over the top? Speaking of incentives, by the way, did you read the Tom Brady incentive-laden push to a lot of his players, his teammates? If you've read that, it's pretty classic. There's a part of me that thinks it's kind of unfortunate. So, Ali Marpet, who was an offensive lineman with Brady in Tampa, played a couple of years there, was saying Brady would get frustrated sometimes, especially at screenplays. So they were getting blown up. So he would say to the offensive lineman, I'll tell you what, if any screenplay that goes for 15 yards or greater, I'll give you each $1,000 cash. Even for guys who sign million-dollar deals, just that extra juice was there for it. And Marpet on a podcast said, "Yeah, that got us pretty fired up. Happy to take that payment." Five offensive linemen, Brady's got to pay out $5,000 every time the Buccaneers ran a screen of at least 15 yards. And Marpet said, "Little extra juice, those kinds of things. Sure, it makes a difference." There was definitely a multiple of 15. So they made a little extra coin, and it worked. Brady had that little extra incentive. There's a part of you that also goes, "Oh, that's really too bad. It takes you $1,000 for you to do your job." We all need a little incentive once in a while, I guess, including millionaires who play the game of football. Phone number is 866-838-4843. The text line, Sports Radio to 21,000. Bottom of the hour. Again, we'll be talking NFL draft. We will do so, and we will get you primed for that with Jeremy Reisman when we come back on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan after this.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state, and Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's D-O-E-R-E-N-M-A-Y-H-E-W or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
The Freddie the Pizza Man Foundation is dedicated to providing support to families and Michigan schools touched by autism. We invite you to join us in supporting these families and schools by making a donation at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. With your donation, you can help provide essential resources that can make a real impact. Visit FreddieThePizzaMan.com to make a donation and to learn more about the foundation's mission. That's FreddieThePizzaMan.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Excited to talk with Jeremy Reisman of the Pride of Detroit about the NFL draft coming up. And you can follow him on X at Detroit on Lion. At Detroit on Lion is where you follow him. So we'll be talking a little bit about what's coming up Thursday, the NFL draft. It's a little different feel, don't you think? It's different for me anyway, because I just, in the past, look, it's such an old cliche in Detroit, but it's so true that April was our quote-unquote Super Bowl. It's just not the way it is right now, and we hope it's not that way. Now we know what other teams feel like. Seriously, other teams feel like the April draft is just it's just part of your calendar. Your NFL calendar. Where with us, it was unbelievable for us to get a top five pick and see who the new shiny toy is, the new shiny car in the garage is. Not anymore. Who's the guy who's going to help us climb over the top? So looking forward to that discussion coming up. Among the things that I had forgotten to tell you in our sports headlines was that Lindy Ruff is the new coach of the Buffalo Sabres. So they are going back to the well, if you will. It's a retread. Is that fair to say? Is that what people... This is what we use. These are the words we use, right? And it's probably fair. Because he is. He is a retread. There's a ton of them, though. Football, we saw it. I mean, would you consider Dan Quinn a retread? Sure. Raheem Morris? Sure. Jim Harbaugh? Yeah. Same thing happens in the NBA. Monty Williams, is he a retread? Yep. Nick Nurse, retread? Yes. Quinn Snyder? Absolutely. Tom Thibodeau? Sure. Those guys are retreads. In other words, guys who were coaches and then went somewhere else and they were hired. That's sports. And that happens all the time. Dwayne Casey was fired in Toronto. Pistons hired him. I'm glad they did. Would you call it a retread? Mike McCarthy, retread in Dallas. You could go down the list. You're not going to get guys who are just brand new to the job all the time. It's not the way it works in sports. Anyway, I had to make that correction for you. If you follow hockey at all, there you go. I think now you're pretty much caught up after an exhilarating night of playoff hockey and NBA action, too. Our text line, Sports Radio, to 21,000. Or you can join us on the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843, here on X's and Bros. And we will talk with Jeremy Reisman at the bottom of the hour as we find our way toward that discussion. We had mentioned the Tigers 7-1 win. Not that we care too much about the Chicago White Sox, but they did lose again last night. They lost 7-0 to Minnesota. You know what that means? They've been shut out 8 times already this year. They've lost 10 of 11. They are 3-19, worst in the majors. They averaged 2 runs per game. They had 8 hits yesterday. But a couple of days ago, they only had 4 hits. The 8th time in 21 games, they've had 6 hits or fewer. Their run differential is now at a minus 78. Think about that for a moment. That's how bad it is there. I'll reiterate what I said last week. We think there's a window of opportunity for certain teams. It's either wide open or it's closing. Before the year began in the NFL last year, people thought the window of opportunity for Kansas City was closing. And all they did was win another Super Bowl. Before the beginning of last season, people thought the window of opportunity for the Chicago White Sox was still wide open. This year, they're 3-19. Last year, that same Chicago squad finished second to last in 26 games back at 61 up and 101 down. It's tough to know. Teams change so drastically. Injuries can happen. Other teams get better. You just never know, man. You just don't. So when you think the window of opportunity is there for the Lions, and perhaps you think it's starting to be there for the Detroit Tigers too, it really makes you appreciate, you know, that 25-year playoff streak that the Red Wings had. So their window really didn't close. Pretty impressive. I say this a lot, and I think it's worth repeating because I truly believe it. Staying consistent or being consistent in sports is so damn hard. That's why, whether you like a team or not, you may not like the Dodgers. You may think that they go out and buy their teams. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think there's a point to be made there. They are consistent, though. They're consistently good. Sure, money helps. Doesn't solve everything. Otherwise, Glenn Sather would have won cups with the Rangers because they spent a lot of money. Otherwise, the Mets would have won things a year ago because they spent a lot of money. It doesn't solve everything. 866-838-4843. That's the phone number on the Meyer hotline here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. You can text us, text Sports Radio to 21,000. So jacked for the entire city of Detroit. I hope it's going to be, look, I'm not a weathercaster, all right? I am not somebody who projects what's going to happen. We know it's going to be cold. I just hope it's a decent day on Thursday so people can get out there and enjoy themselves. Here's what I do wonder, though. With the Lions picking at 29 where they're at, where are they going to move at all? Are they going to pull something where they're going to move back and disappoint fans there? Not that it should matter. That's not how Brad Holmes does his job, nor should he. Or are they going to make some type of trade in that regard? That'll be an interesting follow. Speaking of trades, the Jets traded Zach Wilson to the Broncos. You saw that. That means one player One quarterback, I should say, one of the five quarterbacks selected in the first round remains with their team. Trevor Lawrence, he was the number one overall pick in that draft to Jacksonville. He remains there. In 2021, Lawrence went first. Wilson was the number two pick. He's now in Denver. Trey Lance was the number three pick. Justin Fields was the number 11 pick. And Mac Jones was the number 15 pick. Fields now in Pittsburgh, along with Russell Wilson. So Zach Wilson goes to Denver. When somebody said the other day, do you think the Lions trade Hooker? This is part of the reason I said why, he was a third-round pick. You think you're going to get a third-round pick or better? Zach Wilson was the number two overall pick. They trade him to Denver, and they split his salary. What does Denver get back? Or I should say, what do the Jets get back? A sixth-round draft pick. That's the value. That's pretty sad. It's actually a good risk if you're the Denver Broncos, I think. Because Wilson's got some talent. This will be his last shot, primarily, before he's relegated to backup duty for the rest of his career if he doesn't take advantage of it. Speaking of taking advantage, what will the Lions do to take advantage of their situation? We'll get the thoughts of a guy who's on the inside, Jeremy Reisman. He's the editor-chief, Pride of Detroit. He joins us when we come back on X and some Bros after this.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sport, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet, just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Big day for the city of Detroit. Big day for the Pistons, or for the Lions, as always, with the NFL draft coming up. It'll take place on Thursday, downtown Detroit. Excited for the city of Detroit. Excited for the Lions. The Lions will have the 29th overall pick, the 61st overall pick, number 73 in round three. Then they've got a pick in round five, two in round six, one of those from Tampa. And one in round seven. Jeremy Reisman is the man in charge of Pride of Detroit. And you can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. He is the editor-in-chief, and he joins us here on X's and Bros on this Tuesday morning as he preps for the draft that will take place on Thursday. Jeremy, appreciate the time. Really enjoy the work as well. What excites you most about Thursday, first and foremost?
Well, I think, to me, honestly, just having Detroit on the main stage and having the city on display for a whole bunch of fans that are going to be coming in from everywhere, to me is really exciting because it almost feels like some of the excitement of the draft has been sucked out a little bit for the Lions. There's been so much trust in Brad Holmes and what he has done, and the fact that they don't have a top 10 pick, and the fact that, you know, they only have three picks in the top 150. It seems like people aren't as excited for the Lions' actual draft more so than just the event being here in Detroit. So I think I'm with them there. I think I'm just excited for the city to be on display.
I'm with you on that. Why do you think so many Lions fans trust Brad Holmes?
I mean, the results speak for themselves, right? I was just kind of writing up something today on how I think the first major decision he made has resulted in all the dominoes falling the way they have, and that is them deciding to stick with Jared Goff in 2021. You know, they had a lot of draft capital back then. You look at that 2021 draft class, you know, quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and two out of those three guys are now no longer on their original team. And so the Lions got to keep all of their draft capital. They stayed patient to their board. They got Penei Sewell, who is one of the best offensive tackles in football, if not the best. And everything else falls into place. They get to keep all those first-round picks that they had, which have turned into some big playmakers. I think last year is really the kind of tipping point for fans, where I think they realize, you know, okay, Brad Holmes is doing something a little bit unconventional. Maybe we don't like him drafting a running back or linebacker in the first round, but again, the results speak for themselves. Those guys turned out to be big players for the Lions down the stretch, and they made an NFC championship for just the second time in franchise history.
He is Jeremy Reisman. He's the editor, chief pride of Detroit. You can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. When you mentioned Jared Goff, what do you envision his future is like here in Detroit? Because he's got another year left on the contract, and of course, we haven't heard that a new one is forthcoming anytime soon. Can you give us an idea of what you think his future looks like with the Detroit Lions?
I'm still under the impression that's going to be one of the biggest priorities of this offseason. I know talks haven't really moved too much, none of the leaks have really come out that they're close or anything like that. But I think that's just kind of how Brad Holmes operates. He doesn't operate with urgency when it comes to contract negotiations. Sometimes they get done in May, sometimes they get done in August, but everything this coaching staff has said really from the minute that Jared Goff stepped in the door is that he's our guy. We believe he can win, and he proves them right pretty much every step of the way after, you know, they improve the roster around him. So I think that's kind of their philosophy is Jared Goff is a quarterback that when we get the right pieces around him, he's going to succeed, he's going to win, and he's going to give us the best chance at a Super Bowl. So I think that's kind of the plan going forward. I would very much expect a, you know, mid to longish term deal getting done sometime this offseason that'll probably have Jared Goff around until pretty much the end of his career. I'm not saying, you know, once he hits 33, 34, that's it for him, but the people that might think, you know, Hendon Hooker is waiting in the wings and might take over the starting job in a couple of years, I don't see that happening. I think this team really likes Jared Goff, and I think they think he gives them the best chance to win.
I would argue that with Brad Holmes and Chris Spielman and all the people in the front office, along with Dan Campbell, I don't know if I've ever seen from afar an organization that is so finely tuned and on the same page. The symmetry that they have with one another is a big reason on why this franchise has had a success. How has that transpired, do you think? How quickly did that take place?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question because, yeah, I'm with you. I think that has been a key to what they've done. And it almost feels a little bit by accident, right? Because they hired these guys separately. They hired Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell separately. And Brad Holmes didn't really have much of a say in Dan Campbell being hired, but the way they tell the story is they clicked immediately. They saw things, the same way. And I think part of that is the hiring process. They really looked, I think hiring Matt Patricia kind of taught them a lesson in terms of ego. And that seemed to be one of the main things that they were looking for in the power structure of this team is guys that don't have that ego, that are willing to listen to other people, that are collaborators, that are transparent with each other. And so having people with those kind of qualities as a person in the front office, that allows them to get along, right? If you're transparent, if you're honest with each other, if you don't mind disagreeing with someone and listening to someone else's argument, then you're suddenly going to get along a lot better. And so I think just highlighting those personality traits for leadership positions led them to being able to have a harmonious front office, which is, like you said, a key to success.
Jeremy Reisman's our guest. He's the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit. You can follow him on X at Detroit Online, getting ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. What do you think Detroit's biggest needs are?
Yeah, it's tough because there's not a lot of them. In terms of starting roles, I'm not sure there's one available for a rookie right away, particularly one that you might draft as low as 29. But in terms of depth, in terms of future needs, that's to me, I think, the key of what the Lions might do here. It's not so much needs in 2023, but needs in the long term. You have a couple offensive linemen on expiring deals this year, so maybe you go offensive line. You have cornerbacks on one-year deals. So I think those are two areas that I could see the Lions going early. Wide receiver is another one where maybe there's an opening for a starting spot, depending on what you think of a guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then in terms of depth, I think safety is probably the biggest need, where they really only have three bodies there right now. And, you know, Ifeatu Melifonwu is a guy who's only started a few games at the safety position, so I don't know how much you can trust him right away. But I would highlight maybe those three or four positions: wide receiver, offensive line, corner, and safety.
Do you think what has made Brad Holmes so successful is that he drafts based on his board and the best player available and doesn't necessarily draft for need? Or do you think it's a different philosophy there?
No, I think that's been absolutely key to what he's done. He's said it over and over again, but if you start reaching for need, you're not going to get the player you want. And so I think that, combined with their very strict policy in terms of getting football players, guys who love ball, guys who are committed to the game, and having that be a non-negotiable, has led them to have a culture that, where I think it's not just you surround yourself with good players, but you surround yourself with good practicers, guys who are going to motivate each other and kind of be a force multiplier in a way that, you know, a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't just worth what he does on the field and all the balls he catches, but he's worth it in developing a culture in that wide receiver room. He's going to make his receivers better. He's going to make, you know, his running backs better. He's going to make everybody better with the way he puts in the work. So kind of surrounding yourself with that kind of guy while also making sure, yeah, we're a team that just needs talent. That should be the primary focus. And that's easy when, you know, you have so many needs, because a lot of the times you get these talented players that match up with needy because you have so many. It'll be interesting to see how he sticks with that. And he says he will stick with that kind of that philosophy, even though the Lions' needs have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And maybe just having no needs, no immediate needs, makes it easier to kind of follow that philosophy. But yes, that has been an absolute key, I think, to what the Lions have built here.
Perfect world, but realistic world. Because when I say perfect world, so many people immediately go, well, I'll tell you what I want. I want Marvin Harrison Jr. or whoever it may be, okay? That's not going to happen. You're not getting Malik Nabers. He's not going to be available. And if you're an in-the-trenches guy like me, you're not getting Joe Alt. But perfect but realistic world, how does Detroit address that need in the first round in your mind?
Man, it's tough. I think, to me, it's maybe one of the offensive linemen falling to Detroit. There's so many offensive linemen that could go in the top 20, that could go in the top 30. It's just one of them. And, you know, maybe a team scares off you, you know, because there's two or three interior offensive linemen that are already off the board. They don't want to settle for the third or fourth best. But someone like Graham Barton out at Duke, I think, is a perfect fit in terms of character, in terms of toughness and grit. He's a guy that can play maybe all five offensive line positions. He's a guy that's right on the border there of whether he will or won't be there. Jackson Powers Johnson is another offensive line that I think a lot of people here in Detroit really, really, really like. I'm a little bit lower on him. You know, even some of the offensive tackles, and I know, you know, there's been talks about bringing back Decker. You're obviously going to hand Penesul a monster contract, but if the Lions want to, you know, have a little bit of an insurance policy or get a guy that can play both tackle and guard, a guy like Tyler Guyton is another one that I really like. And I know people are probably screaming like, nah, let's get defense. I'm a little bit scared about a lot of these prospects. Like Chop Robinson is a guy that could have a very, very high ceiling, and to get someone with those athletic traits all the way down to 29 is rare. But he's got a lot of boom bust potential as well. So I'm not sure I'm very high on him. That said, I would say like Cooper DeJean, the corner, some people view him as a safety out of Iowa. If he falls to Detroit, I think that would be a nice marriage of maybe a little bit of a bigger need within, you know, more competition needed at that cornerback position, combined with who I would think would be one of the best players available at 29.
Yeah, I would agree. Or a Nate Wiggins, a cornerback out of Clemson. That's possible. So there's a – I think there's going to be a good player for him, in case people don't know, who we were just referring to. Jackson Powers Johnson is the kid out of Oregon, right?
Yep.
And Tyler Guyton played at Oklahoma, I believe. Yeah. So I think those are the guys that you were referring to. It's interesting the options Detroit might have. Jeremy Reisman is the editor chief of Pride of Detroit, and you can follow him on X at Detroit on Lion. There has been speculation, and I stress that word, it's just speculation, that Brad Holmes could actually trade out. We have seen him do both, trade out and trade up. What would be the benefit there and what you think Detroit could get if they chose? I know it depends on where they go. It depends on the team. But it seems to me at the offset that they've got plenty of draft picks to try and address some of the things that they need to address. How do you see that as a major benefit for Detroit?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on your view of this overall class. I think there is kind of a common perception that maybe this first round is maybe 20, 25 players deep. So if all those 25 players are gone, I think it's a fair assessment of this draft class to say the guys from like 26 to 45 are all kind of on that same level, that same plane of you know, talent. And if that's the case, you know, trading back would make a lot of sense. Again, you look at kind of the draft capital that this team has. They only have three picks in the top 150. After that, whatever, 72nd pick in the third round, they're not picking until after 150. So I think that's exactly the value right there, is to make sure that there isn't that huge gap of where you're not picking anybody and, you know, 80, 90 players go by without you making a selection. But again, like, that's only valuable if you believe there are talented players in that draft class. Because you look at what they did last year, they basically used all their draft capital to get all their picks in the first three rounds. And then they had, you know, one or two picks late in the draft. And Brad Holmes said, like, that was, we wanted to get in and out of that draft. We wanted to get all of our picks done early because we didn't think it was a deep class. So if you don't think it's a deep class, a trade out isn't going to make a ton of sense. But if you do kind of think everyone on that, you know, late first, second, early second are all kind of the same level of talent, and you want some extra, maybe third round picks, maybe a fourth round pick that they don't currently have, then I think it would make sense.
Okay, I could talk to you for an hour, but I only got a couple more minutes. I want to get your quick thoughts on this. Are you of the belief that the top four quarterbacks go in the top 10 picks, and if so, why?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I do think they do, and it's mostly about need to me. I think there are just so many quarterback needy teams right now that, you know, I very much do believe the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. Obviously the Patriots are kind of the wild card since they have so many needs, and Bill Belichick isn't there, so it's hard to know what direction they go in, but Kraft has been pretty open about wanting a quarterback. So I think they get it. And with Minnesota, I think lining up, you know, two first round picks now, it seems like a foregone conclusion that they're going to trade up into the top 10 and get one to make it four in the top 10. To me, almost the more interesting question is, like, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, do those guys make it into the first round? Are we going to see six in the first round, five in the first round? That one is a much tougher question. But I would say, I would expect four quarterbacks to go in the top 10 this week.
Yeah, it's a great question. Lastly, biggest surprise so far in the offseason, after Zach Wilson gets traded to Denver, Andy Reid extended by Kansas City. That's not a surprise. But what's been the biggest surprise to you in the NFL offseason so far?
Man, to me, kind of the saga of Kenny Pickett has been fascinating. Again, it kind of goes back to this quarterback carousel of guys that the Lions all passed on in the past. But, you know, it seemed like the Steelers were going to be perfectly fine having Russell Wilson there and Kenny Pickett kind of learning from him and maybe even being the quarterback of the future once you learn behind Russell Wilson. But Pickett had no interest in that, obviously, and now he's probably going to be a backup somewhere. So, all the quarterbacks kind of shuffling around, and really this has kind of been a pretty common trait, right? We saw it with Aaron Rodgers the year before. It just seems like there's a lot more quarterback carousel than there has been in the past. I mean, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. It's kind of shocking to me that teams are being a little less patient with their quarterbacks, but it is such a tough position to figure out, and some teams will take as many swings at the bat as it takes, I guess.
Okay, I lied. I got one more for you. Because I told you I could talk to you for an hour. What's the strongest position in this draft, do you think? Because so many people have talked about the quarterbacks, right? I think the top three wide receivers are pretty special. There's a lot of people, like, as you mentioned, the offensive linemen. Where would you say this draft's biggest strength is?
Yeah, well, if I could say more broadly, it's clearly offense, right? You got the quarterbacks, you got the wide receivers, you got the offensive linemen. I think, you know, if you're an offensive team, or a team that needs offense, I should say, this is a very good draft for you, which I would say also kind of benefits the Lions, right? They're not a team that has a lot of offensive needs. And so back down at 29, maybe you see a ton of offensive player goes and one of those top tier defensive players slide to you. But if I had to zero in on one position, I think it's wide receiver. And again, I think this is a part of a bigger trend where, you know, the NFL style offense is starting to be a lot more like college style offense. This whole like idea of a pro style offense where you're running the ball and, you know, you got two running backs in the game and three tight ends. There are some teams that still play like that, but not a lot. And so I think you're seeing a lot of these, you know, 11 personnel, three wide receivers out there, kind of mimic the college game. And, you know, I think you can find good, talented wide receivers on day two that could become like Pro Bowl type players. We've seen that in the past. You know, we saw it with Amon-Ra. We saw it with Puka Nacua last year. That is just something that has really been a forward moving trend. And I think this year's draft class is no exception.
Well, that's really good news for the Lions if they want to do that. The record for most offensive players selected in the first round in a draft is 19. That has happened three separate times. And if you look at Caesars Sportsbook, the over-under for total offensive players this year is 21.5.
Wow.
Jeremy,
Jeremy,
great stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoy your stuff. Keep up the great work. And I hope we get a chance to talk to you down the road. Very insightful stuff. You can follow him on X, Detroit on Lion. He is Jeremy Reisman. He's the editor-in-chief, Pride of Detroit. Great stuff. Thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy the draft on Thursday. You deserve it, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You bet. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. And a really good guest. What great insight. Really enjoyed that. I hope you did too. Any thoughts that you might have after that conversation? Very insightful. 866-838-4843. The text is Sports Radio to 21,000. Back with more on the final hour of X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network throughout the great state of Michigan right after this.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up four scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone, from Bubba Coo's burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new food district. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.